It's time now for the Prescott Palette with your host, Barry Barb. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Finding and Making the Good is a group of community members recognizing and celebrating people doing good for others in our community. Share your stories of people doing good deeds through their website, findingandmakingthegood.com, and they'll randomly select up to three each month to be recognized. Visit findingandmakingthegood.com to nominate and contribute today, and like them on Facebook to learn more about your neighbors who are making the good in Prescott. Proud to be part of the Gatto Community Gives program. Like them on Facebook and visit their website, findingandmakingthegood.com. Sponsored by Elgato Azul.
All you need to move ahead is a college that works with you. Yavapai College has degree and certificate programs that can fast-track you for the job you want with schedule options that work with your busy life. The step you take now can secure your future. Take it. Sometimes a classroom or a learning lab is the best way out of the box. YC has classes and certificates in the most sought-after trades. Visit Yavapai College online at yc.edu/admission to register today.
Here's a shout-out to my good friend Rukini and her crew of Allen Flowers and More, where they've been creating beauty and delivering happiness since 1914. Located at 1095 East Gurley Street in Prescott, Allen's is your one-stop shop for all your floral and gift needs for any occasion. Weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, or to send a pick-you-up bouquet. Allen's features a wide selection of unique gifts, cards, truffles, as well as convenience of a drive-through pickup window and flower happy hour. Allen's Flowers and More, 1095 East Gurley, 445-5131, or on the web at allensflowers.com. Welcome to the Prescott Palette, where we're going behind Prescott's culinary, visual, and performing arts scene, and everything in between. My guest today, probably one of the nicest people. You know you're like one of the nicest people?
Oh my gosh.
The pressure's on.
That's very kind to say, and a lot to live up to.
Yeah, I know, really. Huh? My guest today is Deb Malone. All right, now here's the story, because I love your story because it is such a progression from your early life as far as education, even earlier than that. You know, so tell me a little bit about yourself. How long have you been in Prescott?
We've lived here almost 24 years. 24 years next month.
24 years?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. So here we're going to talk about Dolly Parton's Imagination Library.
Yes.
Correct. Of Prescott?
Of the Prescott area.
Of the Prescott area, is that what it is? And also, you're a newly minted children's author.
It's a very exciting time.
So both of those involve reading and literacy and education. So how did this where did this passion come from? When did this start for you?
I think like most things that really move you, it's been there forever. It's just kind of been a little below the surface.
Right.
So I definitely always wanted to write a book. So that was something that I had a desire since I wrote my first book in fourth grade.
I remember this because we sat down a couple months ago.
Yes.
For my column, and you wrote your first book in fourth grade?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the name of that book?
Under the Trapdoor.
I love this. So tell me where the inspiration for Under the Trapdoor come from.
I was told never ever to open the trapdoor that was in my cousin's closet, and we spent a lot of time over there. I spent the night and we lived over there pretty much, and we were not allowed to look at what was in this under this trap door in her closet. So of course it made it super interesting and all the things that it could possibly be. And you know, in my world it was much like a Wonka kind of environment with, you know, clouds, you know, sky of blue and clouds and
right.
And blueberries floating everywhere kind of a situation.
Now, did you actually open the trap door?
Oh, yes.
Of course you did, because we were kids.
Of course we did. And it was disgusting, and you couldn't even, I mean, it's probably not even 24 inches. Like,
right.
You had to, you would have to crawl. I watched my dad go under there for plumbing one time, and it was very disappointing.
Now, did you write the book before or after opening the trap door?
Before.
Before. Okay.
Oh, yes. We were actually pretty good kids. If we were told not to do something, we mostly didn't do it. but every once in a while, we'd get close, and my aunt would be like, are you in there?
So what, you had the book. Okay, you write this book as a fourth grader. And then what did you, I remember a teacher that you liked immensely.
Yeah, my fourth grade teacher, her name was Mrs. McLowry.
Mrs. McLowry.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a great teacher name.
Isn't
it's like
it,
one
though?
Of the best.
And she
that.
Was beautiful. I bet she's still beautiful. I'm going to get to see her in another, probably in March.
Okay.
When I go read at our elementary school where my sister teaches. And
okay.
She's taught for 30 years. So very excited to get to read, not only at our elementary, but for Mrs. McLowry, who's planning to go.
So Mrs. McLowry is also, was she also a writer and author? Or?
So I did not get the scoop from my sister, whether or not she ever made that happen, but she told me in fourth grade that I was going to clearly publish a book before she would. But that she always had that dream too. And it just was so beautiful for her to be so supportive. And she didn't have to be like that. She always would just ask how the books are coming. Right. Are you writing another book? When are you going to publish a book? So it makes it just full support of what the power that a supportive teacher has.
So then you went on to school to be a teacher, correct?
I did.
Study early childhood education or?
Yeah.
Okay. And where did you do that?
Where?
Where were you then?
I went to Cal State Fullerton.
Okay.
Got my degree in, they actually have, at that time it was child development. So that's my degrees in. And I just, always, I had two cousins and a younger sister and I was always the teacher. There was no discussion. Sit down. I'm the teacher.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So did you teach in California or?
No, I actually got to be a stay-at-home mom.
With
our oldest.
Lucky
and
you.
So I had graduated just before Jeffrey was born. And so it was quite the blessing. But then when we moved here and the kids got a little older, I had the amazing opportunity to teach at American Lutheran Preschool and continue to do so for 17 years while my kids were small and
I cannot
and not
believe
so
you're
small.
American Lutheran Preschool for 17 years.
It goes very fast.
That's amazing.
Goes very fast.
So what do you like about kids? What do you like about that preschool age as far as?
Oh, just they see the world in just such a much more beautiful way than we do. And so it's the honesty is great for the most part. Sometimes it's a little too honest, but they just see the world in a beautiful, beautiful way. And they're, the kidisms, as we call them, the funniest things that they say. We like to keep little journals of the funnies, and it's just the refreshing. It's just super refreshing.
Yeah. So what's a day like with preschool kids? Because you're dealing with, what age kids are you dealing with?
3 to 5.
3 to 5. So what kind of activities do you do then?
Well, basically we try to, most of us, I in particular, would always base it around whatever the literature study was, the book reading for the day.
Okay.
And so our activities would go along with that, whatever the theme is. So like, say right now it'd be winter. We read The Mitten. Our craft is centered around the mitten. We play games that involve, matching mittens or counting mittens that, cover the whole math area. So you've got, it's like the whole language way of learning is how kind of I always set up my classroom. But yeah, and then we go outside and, pretty soon you're so excited because they're not just running around on the playground. They're actually incorporating stuff that we did inside on the playground with finding a mitten, losing the mitten.
Right. Oh, nice.
Those are the beautiful moments when you just follow their lead and way cooler than anything you could plan.
Yeah. So then did you write your whole life or when did you start writing? So you've graduated, you're a stay-at-home mom. When did you start writing? Were you writing the whole time or?
I just love words. Like I just have not necessarily written books the whole time when the kids were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that it was always just below the surface, but our kids wanted to do everything coming and going. I would fall into bed because we were running. And so I didn't feel like I was my most creative during those times and it was okay. But I really feel like it kind of meshed when I started with the Imagination Library in particular 2 years ago,
okay.
Where, walking the walk, we really do want to support and to facilitate families and empower them to encourage early literacy and to sit and read with their kids again. We were, probably when I started teaching 17 years ago, like, I'd go to read a book and it wasn't maybe even just the super popular mainstream, author. But a lot of times the kids would say, I have that book. Later on, not as many. So I was starting to wonder what was happening and whether or not our libraries at home were as extensive or if we're actually reading the books that are sitting in the, we might have them, but maybe we're not actually sitting reading to our kids. So
right.
I I was extra inspired. So not only were my kids, they had launched, you know, our youngest was almost done with college by
this
time.
You have two very active boys, by the way.
Still, yes.
Still very active, yeah?
Mm-hmm,
yes. Well, one thing, I want to go back a little bit, because that observation you made about early childhood literacy and being in the classroom and seeing kids understanding and recognizing books that you're bringing out, and how that kind of waned as the year has gone on after seven. It's a very firsthand observation that I don't think a lot of people really have the opportunity to do or appreciate as far as that goes.
Yes. And it took me a little while to actually fully acknowledge it, because you kind of are in denial at some point, even as teachers, because you don't want it to be that way. But it also directly correlated with new kids coming into the classroom, with the majority looking for where are the computers, where are the tablets, where's the TV, why don't we have a TV?
Yeah.
And I never had that in the beginning. So this is my very non-scientific study, but I feel like obviously the, you know, technological age that we're in has replaced some of that. So that reading time, that we call it book snuggling, you know, with your families at home.
Right.
And I just felt even more led to go back to my roots, where, you know, study this, put it into practice of really, truly supporting early childhood literacy.
Okay, so I want to talk about the Dolly Parton Imagination Library in a minute, but I want to get back to your story about writing your book, which is called
Doing What I Otter.
Doing What I Otter. I love the book. I love the story. I love the illustrations. So what point do you say, okay, I've written a book, or I'm going to write a book? How did you do this?
So I, honestly, it was a God wink moment, because
a God
I was,
wink?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because I had been checking into, there was two publishing companies that I was kind of working with. I had not hired either one, but just kind of back and forth, with what they would do, how this would all work, trying to figure this out, what self-publishing would look like, what hybrid is, all these different things. And that took, you know, quite some time to figure this out, and very expensive to do these hybrid publishing deals. So I had a neighbor say, oh, we have a small publisher here.
Do you love Prescott? I love Prescott.
I absolutely love this. Like, it just, it resonated, and you have to, but I had to be in the right place, because maybe if I'd been run like I had, you know, previous years, I wouldn't have been quite so open to it. I wouldn't have acknowledged, oh yeah, well, let's check this out. So I did. And it just seemed like this actually was finally the time. You need to stop worrying about, I spent a lot of time worrying about if it was going to be good enough. And it's like having a baby and releasing it, you know, it's your book baby, releasing your book baby to the world, and whether or not they were going to like it. And if it was good enough, if the message was strong enough, it was meaningful. So I had to get over that. That honestly was the hardest part of it all. And then once signed with the publisher and got my illustrator on board, who is also a sweet story.
I love this story. All right, wait, I'm going to stop you though, because I want to go back. What is the story of Doing Water Otter? What is the inspiration of it, and what is the theme that goes with it?
So the basic theme is, I actually have probably two parallel strong themes that I think are important. Number one is that we all need to invest our time in those we love rather than in the stuff, you know, that consumes us and takes over our lives. And so Oliver, the main character, is quite the hoarder. And he spends all of his time hunting for treasures, quote unquote treasures. And he doesn't really have any, you know, strong relationships. He doesn't have his friends, his family. They're off doing their own thing because he won't have it. So he transitions through the story and learns that in order to have friends, you must be one yourself.
Okay.
First and foremost. And secondly, I could not. Is that right?
That's not fine. You're the writer and the educator. I'll just go along with it.
Trying to be a good wordsmith here.
I know.
I'm responsible. But that he also learns the importance of, you know, not junking up the ocean. And it teaches us and the kiddos reading the story that we need to take care of our earth and not leave all our garbage and stuff at the beach that ends up in the ocean.
So what, it's a lovely book. It's a great story. And one of the things we talked about in the interview is I wanted you to explain how you came about, how long the book should be, the blah, 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 blah. Remember all that?
Can you right.
Tell, so what age is this book geared towards?
It's perfect for 3 to 6 year olds.
Okay, it's a great book for grandma and grandpa to read or...
Yeah. Absolutely. I've had so many grand. Those are some of the sweetest stories that I go to sign their book. And who am I making that to? And I'm expecting it to be little Johnny or whatever. No, it's for grandma because it's staying at grandma's house. And so that's extra, you know, extra sweet, really.
So how did you come about? So when you wrote the book, how did you come about how long it should be and the story theme and stuff like that? Because I remember you explaining to me, I love this. I love this story.
Well, I said I cheated, but honestly, you know, it was just years of experience as a preschool teacher watching kids as you read these stories. You can tell in a very short time, 2 minutes, whether or not this is a good choice or, oop, we're not going to do this one next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they need the book to be a good size. I purposely chose
something to hold on to.
This 8x10 size. Yeah.
Okay.
Not too big, but...
Right.
The small ones, you know, they need it to be very in their face. They need it to be super bright colors and lots of activity going on. The length is super important. You know, it needs to be 10 minutes or less. That seems to be the sweet spot.
That's their
attention span.
Attention span, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So well, the other thing I like about this is you mentioned about the illustrations are lovely, by the way. They're great. Mm-hmm. The story itself is great, but the way you combine these two together... You wouldn't know that someone sitting across the desk from me living in Prescott wrote this book. I would never. I mean, it's so well done. So where did the illustrations come from? This is another great story about this.
It's so special to me that our illustrator, Lydia Strom DeBoard, lives here in Prescott. She's lived here her whole life. And she is 20 years old, and I've known her since she was 3. She was a preschooler in our preschool. I worked with her mom, who still teaches at American Lutheran today, Darcelle DeBoard.
Oh, certainly.
And, she, Miss Lydia, was the child in preschool that could, at 3 and 4 years old, draw like no other. We all would stand around and be like, wow.
Yeah.
That child is going to be an artist. There's no other way.
Right.
And if not, it would be a catastrophe. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And she could draw anything. And so as she's grown, like through her high school years, you know, and her art classes and stuff, the stuff that she would draw, it's phenomenal. Her people are actually super amazing. And
right.
So I already asked her, like, if I was to do another book, and we'll have a lot of more people in it because I need you to have, you know, we absolutely need to showcase your people.
So right.
We'll see how that goes. I'm still kind of, you know, trying to figure out all the marketing stuff with this book, but in the future, like she's amazing, amazing.
Yeah. It's really, you were very blessed to have her, involved in this project because it's so well done. So congratulations on Doing What I Otter. So where
Thank
can I
you.
Get Doing What I Otter?
So we have many choices. If you would like a signed copy, probably the easiest way is to, I try to keep them on hand. So you can email me at doingwhatiotter.
O-T-T-E-R.
Yes. O-T-T-E-R @gmail.com.
Okay.
You can also purchase a book from our beautiful local bookstore, Peregrine, downtown.
Right.
And
right in North Cortez. North Cortez.
North Cortez, right?
It is North Cortez, yes. I'm sorry.
And then lastly, better you than me for the direction.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Gosh. And lastly, online, of course, Amazon, Walmart.com, and Barnes & Noble, just to name a few. But
and Target also, or no?
I think so, yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, the project itself, it's got to be such a love, passion project that to go through the process of getting it done is just, I mean, almost seems daunting at the start. So congratulations on this. I love it.
I had lots of support.
My niece and nephew, Declan and Pastor Rose, yeah.
That makes me smile. You know, it is all about having support. And I was very, very strongly supported. My awesome husband just was,
Craig,
whenever I would
give
have.
A shout out.
Thank you, Craig. He's my everything. He told me it was time. Yes, let's do it. It's time. You should publish a book. And through the rough times, it's going to be okay. You're going to be on the other side of this. Our family, the kids, my dear friends, they all were very, very supportive. That's what made it.
I'm very, very happy for you. Couldn't be a nicer person to be something like this happened to. So we're going to transition now, though, into... So in 2019, you got involved in Dolly Parton's Imagination Library.
So I actually started with them in 2022.
Oh, okay.
But 2019, you're right, is when we actually started.
Okay.
Here, we opened up our local affiliate, which at that time was called the Prescott Area Imagination Library.
So for those who do not know, explain what the Imagination Library is, because a lot of people may not know.
Yes, I'm always surprised by this, but it's Dolly Parton's gift to the world that started, she actually started in 1995 in her local county in Tennessee, and she started it because her dad was illiterate. He could not read, and she didn't want that to happen to another child in the entire world. And she's working on making that happen because it's not just in the United States now. It's in 4 or 5 other countries.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So proud of her. What an inspiration.
So how does it work? She provides the books and you provide the shipping, or how does it work?
So she actually, so it costs $25, right about $25 a child to get the books to them. So she gets the books at... you know, quite, I mean, next to nothing.
Right.
So we basically are paying for that little smidgen that she's arranged for the cost of the book, plus the shipping. She takes care of all the administrative costs and everything like that.
Okay.
But we have to make sure that we can get those books out to each child.
So is it $25 for the year or $25 for?
For an entire year.
An entire year?
Yep.
And you get one book a month?
One book every month. So one very important thing is if we can catch them right at birth, that's the most beautiful thing, because then they would get 60 books by the time they're finished. One book for a month for 5 years. They graduate on their 5th birthday as their last book, and they get a special book on that
nice.
One. But so our affiliates, our team at Dignity Health, in the birthing center, they are just... through the First Steps organization. They're
signing everybody up.
They give it to, I was talking to the gal on Monday, I met with her, and she oftentimes hands it to dad as he's sitting there like, what else am I going to do while I'm sitting here? So
she's like,
hey, here's your, and so oftentimes I do it before they even leave the hospital.
Right.
So it's, a really important part of our mission.
So how many kids were involved in 2019, and how many do you have now 5 years later?
So we started with nothing in 2019. We have increased 200% since we expanded in 2022. We expanded from just the 3 Prescott zip codes. We were only in Prescott from 2019 to 2022. And then we expanded to all of Yavapai County, where there already was an Imagination Library in Verde Valley. And there's one in Baghdad.
Okay.
So we cover everything besides those 2 areas.
And how many children do you have involved in the program in those areas?
So I just looked at the numbers, and it's 2378, so almost 2,400 kids are currently enrolled right now today.
And how many books does that equate to?
Just shy of 50,000.
That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
That is an awesome, awesome gift that you guys have given the community. That's amazing. Congratulations on that, too. Well, you're just full of congratulations. Look at this.
Oh, you're just not going to be fit to live with after this.
I know. You won't be able to get out the door. Right? All right. So you have an event coming up in February. It's your first major fundraiser.
It is.
And it's from February 1st to the 29th because, you know this, Mason? Mm. You know why there's 29 days this year in March, in February? Mm-hmm. It's a leap year.
It is indeed.
That was very, very wise of you.
Mm.
So what's this event? What's your fundraiser you have going on?
So it's called Spring Into Reading. It's a readathon. So essentially...
readathon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you can sign up either as an individual, or we're hitting up some local book clubs to pledge, that they'll read yay many books or yay many pages, however that works, and get sponsors to sponsor them per page, or just a general donation to definitely, help us to raise funds to it's great to get all these kids registered, but we have to get those books out to them. So that's the whole point, is funding.
Okay, so it's a basically a read-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
It's Spring Into Reading, February 1st to 29th. And you basically, so how do I, if there's a website, what is it, IP?
So you... Yeah, you'd want to go to our website, which is ILPA Book. So it's ILPA.
I like that.
And so that's our new title. It stands for the Imagination Library of the Prescott Area.
Okay.
ILPABooks.org.
Okay. And you sign up there, and then you go out and get sponsors for how many books you're going to read. And then all the money goes to buy books for more kids to be involved in this incredible program.
Yeah. To continue to sponsor these kids. $25 a year is what it takes.
And how many people do you have on your committee there? It's not a very big group of you that's doing this whole thing.
No, there's 12 amazing individuals who inspire me in so many ways I never thought possible. They're just, we're comprised mainly of librarians, educators. We have a Rotary designations too.
Okay.
So... It's a great group of people. Really, so really strong group.
If I or an organization want to make a donation to your group, what's the best way to do that?
Definitely go through the website, the ILPA books.org. There's lots of ways. If maybe the readathon doesn't appeal to you, we always have there's a sponsor button on there. There's a donation button. We have a sponsorship form on there with all different levels, from all the way from platinum all the way down to bronze.
So I can do, like, can I do set up for a monthly, something come out of my checking account every month for you or something like that? Or is that possible?
We can make it all happen.
You make it all. So I know you've been doing readings at the library and the Peregrin. Do you have a reading coming up anytime soon?
So funny you should ask. I took the holiday time off, but I am working on getting readings at our local elementary schools.
Oh,
so
nice.
Taylor Hicks, Abiah Judd, and Lincoln. We're going to start with those, and then probably a few more of the preschools. And it's just an awesome gig that I have, because I get to decide when I want to do that. And so I'm ready again to get out there, because that's what this really is about, as it turns out, like seeing these faces. And when they're done, I've had four readings in Vegas. We were there for a wedding, and we happen to know teachers in Vegas. And so they were so kind to let me come in. And the beautiful thing was, as the kids, you know, left, I was knuckle bopping. And interestingly enough, it was all boys. And at various times in the line, a little boy would look up to me and say, "That was the best book I ever read." And it was all boys. And I thought, I don't know if it's because I did very intentionally choose for the main character, Oliver, to be a boy. Because it seems like we've kind of made a swing to the other direction, trying to provide, you know, making sure that our girls are represented and
with good reason,
girls, minorities, everything. So we tried to cover those things as well. But the other characters are all girls.
I know
but
that.
very intentional. But these kids were just so complimentary. You know, thank you for coming. Look you right in the eye. It was just so
rewarding.
Actually gave me very rewarding.
It
gave me shivers. Feeling. It was so sweet.
Well, I'm looking forward to you seeing Mrs. McLowry at your reading in California.
Me too.
Tell her I said hello. I've never met her, but she
you
sounds
would
like
love
a sweetheart.
Her, Barry. You would just love her.
Well, congratulations again. The book is Doing What I Otter. You can find it at the Peregrin Bookstore on North Cortez, online at Amazon, and various other places. The event for the Imagination Library Prescott area is Spring Into Reading. Go to ILPABooks.org, ILPABooks.org, for more information. Sign up for this great program. I love this. They're both great programs. You're just a sweetheart, and thank you so much. My guest today has been Deborah Malone, author, early childhood educator, and just a really nice person.
Oh,
tell Craig
so
I said hello, and the boys.
I so will. Thank you so much, Barry.
We'll see you next time on the Prescott Palette, and be sure to check out my column every Thursday in the Across the Street section of the Daily Courier to see who I'm talking with next.
You've been listening to the Prescott Palette on KQ&A 1130 AM every Saturday at 12 noon. If you know someone who's doing great things, have a special event, or just got a great story, drop me a line at presspalette@gmail.com. That's presspalette@gmail.com, and we'll get them on the air. In the meantime, see who I'm talking to every Thursday in the Across the Street section of the Daily Courier and on Facebook at Prescott Palette.